And welcome to LaSalle College Radio, everybody. I am Justin Miller, and we are here at a special time for you guys today because in studio we have a very talented musician and artist. She's uprising, and she's going to be performing in the Campus Center tonight at 9, so make sure to come out and see her. And what you just heard was off of her new album, Be Here, that's going to be released on April 26th. We're very pleased to have in the studio live with us right now, Rachel Platten. Thank you very much for joining us, Rachel.
Oh, thank you so much. It's awesome to be here.
And so now I've prepared a couple of questions that I'm going to ask before we do a couple of live shots of you performing in studio, which, by the way, your music sounds absolutely fabulous.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They've been doing a little bit of practicing in the studio before we went live, and they
just
sound...
Just a bit.
Yeah. Like 4 or 5 songs.
Yeah. No big deal.
That's how you guys do it. But honestly, you are really talented, so I think you're definitely going to go far.
Thank you so much. That's so sweet. Thank you.
Anytime. So the first question that I have is that on your website, which is rachelplantonmusic.com, it talks about your lifelong passion for music developing when you were only 4 years old. And it said when you started playing the piano. And so who were some of your childhood influences in the music industry that helped you discover your calling?
Oh, that's a good question. Growing up, my family listened to, it was kind of like my mom's music and then my dad's music and then what my sister and I found. So it was like a mix of Joni Mitchell and Carly Simon, who I really loved and listened to in my mom's car. And then it was some like dorky rock and roll that my dad played.
Rock and roll isn't dorky.
No, but like his stuff was. As my band found out the other night because we had dinner at their house and they were asking them what they listened to. My dad's like, I don't know, what did he say? Like he likes the Doors, which I like, and you know, the Stones, but he also listened to like some country and some what was that? What's that song? This Break This City on Rock. Oh, Starship, yeah. But anyway, that wasn't an early influence. But people like Joni Mitchell and Carly Simon, and also like Jewel, growing up, I listened to her and the Indigo Girls. And then my sister and I would like dance in our rooms to Paula Abdul and Madonna. So it was kind of a mix of.
So anyway, now in college, you began taking your first steps in the world of songwriting in 2005 when you went abroad to the Caribbean Isle of Trinidad and you landed an internship at a local record label out there. And so I just wanted to ask you to explain the experience that you had there and how networking with local artists in that area helped you to go on the big stage for the first time.
Yeah, that's a really good question. It was really cool being there. I didn't go there with the intent to become a rock star, to be on stage. I went there more with just this kind of small feeling inside of me that I needed to explore this love of music that I've always had, but I hadn't really taken seriously as a career. And there was a presentation in one of my classes in college, and it was about Trinidad. And they showed pictures of Carnival, and they explained how music was the lifeblood and the pulse of the country, and everyone there danced and played music and sung, and I just had this feeling I was supposed to go there. So I set up an internship at a record label, and I just loved being around musicians. I loved it. The first day I walked into the label, I felt like such a dork. I sat there and didn't talk, and I just watched everyone walk around me and play music, and I was so nervous, but something inside me was like, oh yes, I'm supposed to be here.
But sometimes it's good to just be quiet and just absorb in what you're experiencing, because then you can build on it and then make an impression later on, which obviously you did.
Yeah, exactly. I should be quiet more often, I think, these days. I talk a lot, but it was really, really cool to be around those people. And from that, I met this band that had a single and like a hit on the radio at the time. And we became friends, and they eventually encouraged me to sing. And
what was the band's name?
Honestly, I can't remember. I did an interview like a couple months ago, and I couldn't remember the name. And one of the bands was Tree Canal. I played keys for them in the rehearsals a couple times. But the band that I actually toured with, I can't remember. It was like, oh man, I gotta look it up for you. I'm sorry.
But, you know, at least they gave you your first real big stage experience and kind of got you exposed and got your name out there.
Yeah.
And obviously that definitely had an influence on you, because then when you returned to the United States, you enrolled into Berkeley before you went down to New York City in the fall of 2006. And so my next question to you is, how did attending such a prestigious music institution as Berkeley help you to put your name out in the industry even more?
I don't know if I fully took advantage of Berkeley. I was only there for the summer, and I didn't really know what to do and how to get from the Trinidad experience back into the States. And from my experience in Trinidad, it was so easy. It was like, oh, cool, you want to play music, you get to immediately be on a stage in front of 100,000 people. That's easy. But that's not obviously the reality. So I got back in Berkeley, my parents suggested. But being there, it was great in that I started taking piano seriously again, and I met some musicians there. But I don't know if I was confident enough yet to, like, really take advantage of all that I could have there. But it was cool because I met some other musicians there. I met, like, a really nice guy who played the drums, and I met a guitar player, and I put together this little makeshift band and went into a random studio that I found in Cambridge and recorded the songs that I'd written when I was in Trinidad. So that was a great experience. But in terms of really accessing, like, you know, the teachers there and the classes there, I don't know. I don't know if I did such a good job of it.
But, I mean, even though you didn't really access the classes that well, at least it still gave you some experience by networking with other people to form a band and actually getting some...
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That was definitely... You know what? You're right. That was the coolest part about it. No, you're right, because all those people that I met were in classes with me. So even if I wasn't necessarily paying that much attention in the classes, I was meeting people, and that was a really cool networking experience.
So, continuing on, when you went down to New York City, you spent the next 4 years kind of down that area, and that's when your career truly took light, is from what your website states. And when you secured big opening spots for artists such as The Strokes and Ziggy Marley, that really helped to kind of put your name out there even more and showcase your talent to even a wider range of an audience, especially in the United States. And they helped you to get the review of Breathtaking and Brilliant that kind of like really struck out to me when I was reading your webpage. Breathtaking and Brilliant by the Boston Globe. And what things did you soak in from these special concerts that kind of helped your career to flourish? And if you can't like remember any specific ones.
Oh, no, because Ziggy Marley was recently, so we, the three of us, played it together. And I think one of the most amazing things that we have started to take away, I'm currently touring with my drummer most of the time and my wonderful guitar player, Martin, when we're lucky enough to have him. So one of the biggest things that stuck out for me was that, okay, there's this big audience of people that are not inclined to like our music. You know, they're there to see reggae artist, and why would they like some, you know, silly white girl who's going to be playing like piano and singing about confessional love songs? But you know, going into it now with the three of us, we have this confidence that we can go into a big room and win over people with just the three of us. We make so much noise, and we have this confidence in what we're doing, and we love it so much that even if they don't like it, it doesn't matter. We're having so much fun that we'll pick up, you know, maybe 10 people, maybe 15 people, but usually more, who, you know, see how much fun and how much love we're putting into the music.
And so, also one thing that I noticed in your recent news is that your website states that you were selected by the Songwriter Hall of Fame as a featured writer in the New Writer Showcase, and this I found impressive, that you won it alongside Lady Gaga.
Yeah, that was really funny. Well, she was Stephanie Germanotta back then. I think it was in 2006, I want to say, 2007 maybe. I think she was Lady Gaga like the year after, but we were friends and we did a couple shows together, and, you know, she was phenomenally talented. I don't have a bad word to say about her. She was so incredibly talented and inspiring, and even at that level when she was just, you know, she was wearing a leotard, but she was Stephanie and she was playing piano. You could tell she was special. My parents were at that show, and we're like, wow, that leotard girl, what a crazy girl. But yeah, it was really cool knowing her then, and we're not in touch anymore. But
did she give you like any inspiring bits of advice when were friends with her?
You know what's so funny? She was so confused about what to do, and was asking seriously, and was asking me advice because she had just gotten this deal with Rob Fusari, who was the producer of Beyonce, and so she was so confused, and she's like 3 years younger than me, so she was asking me advice about what to do and kind of looking at me as an older sister. And we'd hang out, and she was adorable. She would just like lose her stuff all the time and like kind of be a mess and was a little confused about, you know, which way to go and who to trust. So no, I wish that I had been able to talk to her now, because I'm sure she'd have an abundance of wisdom to give me now. But I think at that point she was just starting out and didn't know what she was doing yet.
Well, I mean, at least you helped her and sort of guided her so that she knew what she had to do and kind of just took on the role as like a mentor to her, even though...
Oh, wait, I think you just stretched that. I don't know if I was her mentor.
You never know, though.
Just kidding. Yeah. I would just hate that to be out there like, Rachel Patton says she's Lady Gaga's mentor. And I don't know. I mean, it was fun. We hung out a couple times, and I gave her hopefully some good advice, but... You know, it's funny, she sent me the new tracks that were eventually what was on, like, Just Dance and all that. And she had sent me them along with her new name and was like, what do you think about this? Like, and I was honest with her. I was like, well, I really like your other songs, Stephanie. So apparently the show's what, you know, what I know about pop culture. But that's all right.
Oh. And speaking of songs, you just gave me a CD that we just showcased before we started the interview. Those were actually songs from your new debut album, Be Here, which is set to be released on April 26th of this year. And so on your website, it talks about how you wrote most of the songs from this album while you were studying abroad and in New York City. And so I just wanted to ask if you had any inspirations from those two places that helped to put together the songs on this album, or any particular stories that you'd like to share that helped form any of the songs?
Yeah, sure. One of the songs in particular is called 53 Steps. And I wrote it about this burning desire that I had to be traveling and to be touring. And I wasn't at that point. I was in Sweden, which, you know, would seem like I was traveling and touring, but it was, you know, it was an experience I knew was going to end. It was a 3-week trip and I was going to come home. I didn't have a tour lined up. So my drummer and I and my guitar player had been out on, like, you know, just a couple dates here and there, out for like 4 days and come back. And every time we were out, we just were like, we just wish we could be driving to the next gig right now. And we'd be driving home and we were like, oh man, can you imagine how awesome it's going to be to just be able to be driving to the next gig always? And so that song was that. It was that feeling. Was that there's something incredible out there that I'm supposed to be getting, or I'm going to be able to access as soon as I'm exploring and traveling the world. And that's what that song was about and inspired by.
That definitely comes true in my mind. I took a listen to a lot of the songs on your website. Not 100% sure if that was on there, but a lot of those songs kind of have that exact same theme to them as well, like that Taylor Swift theme where they're really personal and just from your heart. And
yeah,
that's probably what's going to win over a lot of people when this album is actually released.
Oh, thank you.
In my opinion.
I hope that's, you know, that's true. I take lyrics very seriously, and I don't want to say stuff that I don't believe in, so the lyrics to me are a personal time. You know, I do a lot of co-writing. I did a lot of co-writing for this record on the music and, like, melodies, but the lyrics I write always, and I take them really seriously, and I really want to make sure that I'm saying stuff that I believe in, that I'm saying stuff that's real, and hopefully able to reach people that way.
Yeah, one thing in my opinion is that with some artists out there these days, they don't actually put a lot of the real emotions into the songs that they write. Like, they just write it for the money and not about, like, the true meaning of the songs. And so
Definitely
can see that you definitely write them from your heart, and because you just have a love for music from based on what we've talked about today. So
thank you.
Also, one thing that I also will finally promote for you is that you're going to be touring on the Rock Boat 12, March 1st through the 5th, 2012, so a year from now. And you're going to be touring with some pretty big name artists, such as Sister Hazel, Vertical Horizon, Stephen Kellogg, and the Sixers. Could you tell us more about that and your excitement for taking part in such an esteemed and huge event?
Oh my gosh, I am so excited. The label that I signed with, Rockridge, has a hand in the planning of the tour, and that was one of the most exciting things. I was like, oh man, maybe I'll get to go on the Rock Boat. So they were kind enough to put me on next year, and I remember hearing about it. My drummer and I were talking about this. My drummer Craig is here. Craig, say what's up.
What is up?
We were talking about this last year, I think, like how cool it would be to be. I don't know if actually we talked about it or we had this conversation that we both have thought about it before. Like, he thought about how amazing it would be to be on a cruise playing music. And I had heard about it like 5 years ago from my friend Toby Lightman. And I know that she had gone with Carbon Leaf. And I remember thinking, how amazing. I will really have made it if I get to go on this cruise and play music. So I am totally stoked, and I have no idea what it will be like, but I promise that I will completely blog throughout and report next year how it went.
I definitely look forward to reading your blog on your website. And for all of you out there listening in right now, you can go to rachelplantenmusic.com. That's RachelPlatten music.com, and they'll give you all the information about Rachel, her music bio, anything else you want to know, upcoming
dates. Yeah, stream the record. You can check out the record that's coming out.
You're performing at a lot of colleges.
On a 43-date college tour this winter and spring. We're about halfway through right now. We're psyched to play at LaSalle tonight, too.
How's it been going for you so far, though?
Oh, man, it's so fun. We're having the time of our life. It's so fun. I don't know, Craig, what do you think? How's it going?
I think it's incredible.
Craig thinks it's incredible. Martin.
Cold sometimes.
What do you think, man?
Good times indeed.
Yeah. We're having so much fun.
Cafeteria food rocks.
Yeah, cafeteria food is delicious. We're looking at the cafeteria now. It looks amazing.
Well, definitely glad to have you here tonight. And for all of you listening out there, Rachel's going to be performing at our campus center tonight at 9. Make sure to come by and support her as she's going to be playing. This is a CAB-sponsored event, and definitely hope to have a huge turnout. I myself will be there with some of my friends,
yes.
And definitely looking forward to seeing what you have to offer. But you're actually going to showcase some of it right now in the studio for us. So
I'm going to play a song for you off the record. It's called Overwhelmed, and this is going to be like an acoustic version of it. So.
Fantastic. So an acoustic version of Overwhelmed from her new CD, Be Here. Here we go, everyone. Forward to the Campus Center performance tonight. That was really energetic. I actually had a couple of friends just text me during that performance, and they were like, wow, she's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
We love your friends.
We love your friends.
So
thank you. That was Martin Rivas on guitar and vocals. You can check out his music too at martinrivas.net. And this is Mr. Craig Meyer on the drums over here, and he's a wonderful man.
Well, Rachel, Martin, Craig, you are all fantastic in that.
Thank you.
We probably have time for one more if you have one prepared.
Sure, no problem. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Cool.
So,
next slide closer.
Yes.
Is there anything in particular that you'd like to perform for us?
Let's do Honeybees.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, this song is called Honeybees, and this has a lot of meaning for me, this song, because I wrote it about kind of letting go of all the stuff that we think we need to be happy, like all of the all of, like, the nervous energy spent on Facebook and Twitter, which I do all the time. But by the way, go to Facebook and like me if you want before you cut it out of your life. But, you know, this is just a little reminder for me, at least, to put down your phone and put away your computer and just spend time with friends.
And sometimes we just need those moments because they're the most special in life, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't get enough of them, but...
No.
Here we go, everyone, with Honeybees. That was an absolutely wonderful performance by all three of you. Thank you so much for stopping by on LaSalle College Radio.
Thank you so much for having us. We had so much fun. We hope to see you guys tonight.
I'm glad you guys had a blast on here because it was an awful lot of fun having you all on. And once again, everyone, they're going to be at the Campus Center tonight at 9. Make sure to stop by. It's a CAV-sponsored event.
And check out my website at rachelplatten.com. No music, yeah.
New site,
rachelplatten.com.
Oh, a new website.
Yeah, there you go.
Definitely make sure to check that out. So check out that website and rachelplattenmusic.com because that website has an awful lot of fantastic information on it. Thank you again for coming on to the program today.
Thank you very much. Goodbye, everybody.